Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
All right, what is up, you guys? It is Jake here, bringing you another episode of the podcast. Happy Thursday, everyone. Maybe it's going to be Friday when you're listening to this, whatever. We got the weekend on tap. We got Ravens at Patriots coming up. And so I am bringing you today's episode, a little bit of a solo interview between myself and DJ Bean of NBC Sports Boston and the Brunch Podcast. This was a really fun one. We wanted to get a Pat-centric guest on. It was kind of last minute. And I thought of DJ, who I listen to via the Brunch Podcast, which is not sports related. It's a little bit more pop culture, but it's really fun. And that is not DJ's main source of income. His day job is, like I said, with NBC Sports Boston. He is kind of all things Boston sports guy, not just the Patriots, but he covers Bruins, Red Sox, all that stuff. But I figured with his conversational nature, really kind of affable, fun guy, he'd be good to try to get on. So managed to hook that up. He was kind enough to hop on with me and just kind of talk Pats, talk Ravens, talk this game for almost an hour, talk life, really. It was a really good, fun conversation. I think one of the more fun ones that I've had in a long time, and really reminds me why I like doing this. DJ was a great guy, an awesome guest, and I can't thank him enough for his time. So just wanted to hop in here and record this little intro to let you guys know that this one is going to be running a little bit longer. Spenny and I are not going to be together doing our predictions again for a second straight week. So I guess I didn't give a prediction with DJ, so I guess I'll go ahead and give mine right now. I got the Ravens winning this one. Just feels like one that's going to feel like a bit of a bounce back game. I don't think they're going to look all the way back to form, but I think they had their mettle tested a little bit last week, as I touched on in the interview, and I think they're going to be ready to go out there and grind out what I think is going to be a difficult, close game against a solid team on the road in a hostile environment. I'm going to go Ravens win this one 26 with the Patriots scoring 23 at home. Ravens get to 2-1. I don't think it's a guarantee at this point. I think things are kind of looking a little hairy for both teams. You don't want to be 1-2, and I got the Ravens emerging out of this weekend 2-1. And like I said, there's no prediction in this interview necessarily. It's just a little bit of a chat with DJ about the game. Like I said, it's a lot of big picture Patriots stuff, which I think is really interesting coming from his perspective, because as you'll hear in the interview, he's not the biggest supporter of some of the moves they've been making the last couple of years, including moving on to Mac Jones. It's just an interesting, really fun chat. So I guess without further ado, you got my prediction. Spenny's going to be hopping on here, I think, doing an episode of his own at some point before the week is out. You'll get more predictions from him there, and maybe we'll just put them out on Twitter at some point too. But as for me, it's Ravens getting the close win this weekend up in Foxborough. But I guess without further ado, let's throw it over to my chat with DJ Bean of NBC Sports Boston and the Brunch Podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Talk to you next week. All right, we now welcome on a very special guest. It's DJ Bean of NBC Sports Boston and the Brunch Podcast. How's it going, man?
What's up, Jake?
Nothing much, nothing much. Thanks for hopping on here with me, you know, getting you on to talk a little bit of Pat's Ravens. It's an interesting sort of pairing, because I listen to your podcast, Brunch, which is a great listen. So I don't really like follow you from a sports perspective very much, but you kind of are a little bit of a big J up there in Boston, it seems like, sports-wise, to some extent. I know you said before we got going here that everyone in Boston hates you, which is an interesting sort of approach as a local sportscaster. But I don't know, man. I guess we'll start here. It feels like it's been a pretty divisive offseason for the Patriots fans, like amongst like all my Patriots followers, of which there are a decent amount, and like you're a part of that. So what is one word that you would use to kind of sum up the feelings around this team? Let's start back in March, going all the way up to before week one.
Arrogant.
Okay. Arrogant.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking that pieces fit that in any other situation would not fit. And all we really talk about in New England is the offense, because it's so confusing that they replaced Josh McDaniels with Matt Patricia, who famously It was a failed head coach, but that's fine. I mean, Josh McDaniels was a failed head coach when he came back to the Patriots, but he had a track record of being a good offensive coordinator. So they slid him in. He and Brady continued to work their magic. They continue to win Super Bowls. No problem there. It's the doing it with Matt Patricia, for whom I honestly feel bad, because most Patriots conversations are, why do they think Matt Patricia could do this? Or why do they think Joe Judge could do this? And you've got Joe Judge as a quarterback's coach when really that hasn't been his area of expertise. And Matt Patricia is the de facto offensive coordinator when he was a defensive coordinator in New England. And I mean, years and years and years ago was an assistant offensive line coach, but it takes so long to become a serviceable offensive coach, and especially a serviceable offensive coordinator, that it's really just kind of seemed arrogant on the Patriots' part and Bill Belichick's part that it's okay, we'll just be able to slide this together. And to see how badly they lost to the Bills and think it's okay, we don't need to make any major additions in the offseason, we don't need to get Mac Jones star power around him, which is exactly what the Dolphins did, where they had a quarterback who was also, as the kids would say, mid. And they were like, you know what? We already have a number one receiver for him in Jalen Waddle. Screw it. Let's get him Tyreek Hill. Or even Josh McDaniels with the Raiders. I know they obviously lost Henry Ruggs, but they've got decent pass catchers out there with Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow. And he's like, you know what? Screw it. We're getting him Davante Adams. And the Patriots just always kind of seem intent on zagging when everyone zigs. And historically, that's worked for them. But the way in which they're going about it right now does not seem super practical.
So was the zagging when they had Brady, was that where it was like, and I tend to believe in Belichick. Like, obviously, people are kind of crapping on him a little bit right now. I tend to, give the guy the benefit of the doubt. But is it kind of starting to look like the zagging was a little bit, hey, we're just galaxy braining ourselves and Tom Brady is making up all this margin for error, and now that it's gone, it's being exposed as a little bit more galaxy braining? Or do you kind of believe that Belichick is going to be able to turn this thing around here before he retires?
I mean, I think that naturally the galaxy braining has increased as Belichick has gotten older, because I know that there was a quote or something in a book or something that said that Belichick, as he gets older, just wants to be around people that he likes to work with, players that he likes to work with. So you'll see him take an Alabama guy in the second round who you think, hey, wasn't he supposed to be a third or fourth round pick? But he just likes the guy, likes the kid, wants to work with him. So he does that. I do think that they did some "we're the smartest people in the room" stuff that wouldn't have worked if they didn't have Tom Brady back in the day. But Belichick is still an incredible, phenomenal, like ace, A-level coach. Right now, overall, he's the best coach ever. Right now, he's probably not the best coach in the league, but he's still a fantastic, incredible, really smart coach. It's the personnel stuff, though, that has seemed a little galaxy brain. Because if anybody else did this, we'd be like, what do you do? Like, I had this meltdown that we've had about the Patriots, that everyone's had about the Patriots. I had that meltdown when the Jaguars hired Urban Meyer, but they were a bad football team hiring a famous football coach. That at least kind of, you could see where they thought they were coming from there. Here, I don't know what they think they're doing. And so far, the offense doesn't look good. And Mac Jones, who I've never thought was there yet, could one day be there, could become the guy. But Mac Jones has looked worse. He's regressed.
Give me that whole spiel.
Oh, man. I mean, so I'm a baby about a lot of the sports arguments I get into are mainly just like reaction to reaction, which is dumb. And that's a lot of my pop culture takes too, where I'm like, somebody reacted to this way, to this thing this way. And then I care more about how people reacted than what's actually happening in the actual event that occurred.
You're describing Twitter.com, by the way. This is not unique to you, but continue.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel horrible about it.
Yeah.
Like it's an extremely unproductive use of time. And especially in my line of work, where if I'm really passionate about something, maybe viewers won't understand, like, what's he even talking about? Like, who's he mad at right now? And it's like somebody who wrote something that day, or 30 other people, instead of just being passionate about an actual thing that occurred. So in the case of Mac Jones, nobody really thought that Mac Jones was going to be that great. He was an intriguing prospect because there was talk of the 49ers, you know, they might like him at three or whatever. But there was a consensus, especially around New England, that, yeah, Mac Jones is fine if you can get him, I guess. And if you need a quarterback, and if you really think Cam Newton can do it, which he couldn't, then sure. If he's there at 15, maybe you take him, whatever. But from the second the Patriots drafted him at 15, and they let him fall, if they liked him and they really wanted him, they would have traded up. They would have gotten him. But they let the Bears trade up ahead of them to take a quarterback. They didn't know that they were going Fields over Mac Jones. So from the moment the Patriots took Mac Jones, it was like, oh, so there must be something about Mac Jones that we don't know. Because in Bill we trust, Patriots are very smart, which again, historically they are. They're the most successful franchise. But it's like once the Patriots get him, all right, never mind. Everything that we thought was wrong. I no longer trust my own brain and what I thought of Mac Jones. So that's just kind of, that gets on my nerves a little bit. I think that we should have faith in ourselves and kind of stick with our first guess until we see something that changes our mind. And Mac Jones last year, his first game, he turned around and threw the ball the wrong way at Jonnu Smith, who is waving his arms saying, don't throw the ball this way. You're facing the wrong way. Don't throw the ball this way. And he did that. And then he played okay. He had some okay moments and the Patriots won. And I'm sorry, and the Patriots lost. But he looked better than Cam Newton, which, step in the right direction. First game, all right, cool. There was this really weird like sigh of relief that occurred after, though, where everyone was like, oh, thank God. All right, they've got the guy now. And I was like, that's the guy? Didn't we just watch Tom Brady for a bajillion years? Don't we still, like, don't we watch Josh Allen sometimes? Isn't Patrick Mahomes in the league? Like, and I know that it's the chances of you getting Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, all these guys is very small. But what I saw in that, I was like, he looks like he could maybe be what I thought he would be, which is like your ceiling is Derek Carr-ish. And that's kind of my Mac Jones thing. I'm like, can we just wait until he's good before we say he's good? And with fans, that's not going to happen because they're fans. It makes sense. I mean, if Lamar Jackson was mediocre instead of very good, I would expect you and Ravens fans to say Lamar Jackson's our guy. Therefore, he's the guy.
Yep.
But I don't know, man. Like, quarterbacks are so good in the NFL right now, and
their ceiling is so high too in a lot of cases athletically right now, which is what makes that so difficult. And like, I know you're a big Bolts guy with Justin Herbert, and like that guy is like the next John Elway, it looks like at times. And like Mac, probably he can't move like that. He doesn't have an arm like that. He might be a great like decision maker, and I don't think the jury is out on him, but I don't blame you for being a little bit like, hey, everyone, let's like settle down here. And I get, as like being a fan, that you want to sell yourself on somebody, but like sometimes somebody being the voice of reason to like, hey, let's settle down, isn't the worst thing.
No. Where I run into trouble is, I think if somebody pushes too far one way on something, then I think that it's only natural to balance out the universe to push too hard the other way. Brady's last year with the Patriots, he wasn't as good. And I thought he was getting worse. I thought that once he left, he'd be better somewhere else and that he would bust his ass and that I don't think he'd win a Super Bowl. But I thought he's going to go somewhere else. He's going to try a lot harder. He's going to be happier because that's just human nature. And he's going to want to prove people wrong. But I still did think that he was getting worse. And I got into some arguments at work and around town over that. So they would dig in so hard on Brady hasn't gotten one drop worse that by the time the argument was done, I was like, he's gotten so much worse. He sucks. And like, that's where I get with Mac Jones, where like when Mac Jones throws a bad ball. And again, I don't know that Mac Jones isn't going to be an NFL quarterback. I think that he's like fine. But now if Mac Jones throws a bad pass, I have too much fun with it because I know that people are overreacting to him being great. So I don't know. I'll have a little fun when he looks bad.
Yeah, I get it. And that's just kind of like, that's another thing that Twitter is for, is just kind of like dunking on people when you're right. And it's interesting you say all that, because like Ravens fans are kind of like, there's a little bit of an identity crisis right now too, where they're like, oh man, like Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, like, get rid of him. He's not maximizing Jackson and like the passing game stuff. They need to get better in that. And roster construction, they're not like going for it every year and making the big trades. And like, there's two sides to that argument. And like, it just feels like it, once you dig in on one side, then that's what it's going to be. And you're not going to be able to have any nuance with it. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like with the fact that Ozzie Newsome, who like built, you know, this franchise, basically learned from Bill Belichick, I think it's kind of telling that there's like that dynamic in, you know, both franchises right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I love Lamar Jackson. I think that, and I was just saying how good quarterbacks are. I think that it can be because there's a better dual threat quarterback in the NFL right now than Lamar Jackson. It maybe you could kind of convince yourself that, oh, like we have the wrong guy or something, but the better dual threat quarterback in the NFL is legitimately an impossible player.
Like the best quarterback ever, probably.
Like if you are looking for, if you're like, man, he can move around, but he's not Josh Allen. It's like, well, Josh Allen is a unicorn in so many ways. He is somehow a better version of what Cam Newton was when Cam Newton was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's an absolute tank and he can do anything. It's no like stain on the Ravens or Lamar Jackson that your absolute freak athletic dual threat quarterback isn't also a bulldozer. He's, I think, still a really good passer, probably not an elite passer, but
when you can move like him, you know,
right? Yeah, exactly. You don't need it as much still. I mean, truly one of the premier playmakers in the NFL. So I think that that Ravens fans are on the right track with, is he being utilized properly or are we getting the most out of him versus is he the guy?
Yeah, it's not even like a guy thing at all, because like it's funny you say the guy thing, because it reminds me, I don't know if you saw the Pardon My Take like thing the other day. They were talking about the guy and it's just like,
favorite thing. I sent it to so many people. I was like, PFT, tongue in cheek, is articulating in a very funny and entertaining way just what I've been saying for like, this is the point I'm trying to make, which is I don't think that Mac Jones sucks. If he does suck, maybe I'll have a laugh over it, but I hope for his sake and everybody's sake and the Patriots' sake that he doesn't suck. But I think that you're going to want to talk yourself into him being good. And a lot of franchises have done that with players where like, oh man, like he's so close to maybe potentially being this thing. And that video encapsulated that perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, that's the funny thing, like with Ravens fans, it's like everyone like believes in him 100%, but it's just like the conversation is like, oh man, well they need to do this to maximize and they need to like, you know, stick with what they're doing, or they need to just go in and trade for the big like wide receiver. And I think I come down on the side of like, I don't think they necessarily need to do that. I think they're kind of getting enough out of him, you know, as they can. And, you know, hopefully that playoff success will come. I tend to think it hasn't come because of mitigating factors, and maybe that's just excuse making fan in me, but yeah, I don't know. It's a weird conversation, and that was definitely a tangent. I don't want to keep you here all night. So,
oh no, dude, I disagree so much with the, yeah, but what happens when he gets to the playoffs? How many playoff games has he played? Two, three?
Three or four at this point.
Okay, yeah, right. So he played, I think he beat the
Titans.
He beat the Chargers.
His first year, it was 2018. He took over for Flacco as a rookie. I think they went 6-1 down the stretch. They lose to the Chargers in the first round. The second year was the Titans loss when they were the one seed. And then the third year, he went and beat the Titans and then went and lost to the Bills. So he's played in four. He's won one.
Okay. Famously not great. But,
famously, yes. No, that's not the record that you want to have, but hey, he got there. I mean, like, where's Kyler Murray getting shit for not making it, you know? That's kind of what I'm wondering.
Oh, dude, that drives me crazy, too. I mean, like, I remember the Patriots, when they'd get to the Super Bowl, people would ask, like, is it better for Brady if they didn't make it at all if he's to lose this game? And I'm like, what did you just ask? Because I was at Joe Montana, I think, is undefeated in the Super Bowls.
4-0, yep.
You're right. He played in four Super Bowls. Tom Brady played in, 10.
I think it adds 10? Up to half his career he's been in the Super Bowl. Or almost.
Like, get out of here with the, so it's better off if you're not in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, if the Ravens had never made the playoffs or something, maybe then you could say, like, you could do what idiot Patriots fans do to me about Justin Herbert. They're like, oh, Mac Jones made the playoffs for Justin Herbert. I'm like, all right. cool. So I guess you'd rather have Mac Jones than Justin Herbert is what you're telling me. But yeah, 1-3, not amazing, but no, I don't see it as like a, he falls apart in the postseason.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think, it's a lot of different things, and it's a conversation that's been had on these airwaves and on Twitter and all this, you know,
wins
bullshit.
Not a QB stat. People forget that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Famously, I do. I often say that, but
I did see today Mac Jones said the only stat he cares about is wins.
Mm.
It's like, damn. So even if those are the stats you care about, you kind of have mediocre stats.
It's a hashtag QB wins play.
That guy can't win. Yeah, it's a QB wins play.
But yeah, I guess so. That's your tangent, I guess, on Mac Jones. That took up about 15 minutes of your time, so I'm sorry about that. But I don't know. I guess getting into
it's only your time and anybody listening who has suffered for that. I'm thriving.
I think they'll love it. But yeah, I guess we can get into the nitty gritty. So you mentioned McDaniels. Who is the offensive play caller right now of this team? Cause I have no idea. Like I looked and I tried to do like hashtag do my own research and I couldn't find like anything.
Matty P.
Is it?
Matty P.
So he went from defensive coordinator to a head coach and now he's back and he's actually calling offensive plays. That's an interesting kind of come up. What is that looking like so far through two games?
Not good, man. I mean, they had a good drive last week to close out the Steelers where they ran out the clock and they had fresh legs with Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson had a good game. And that's cool because when the Patriots offense has been at its best, really the last like 3-4 years, it's been when they're just kind of pounding the ball. They invest in the running back position. Every couple years they'll spend a third round pick on a running back and they'll be good. And that's cool, but that's also not super difficult to do or impressive, and that's not what you really want your offensive identity to be. Mac Jones has not been good this year. He has thrown two picks while targeting Devontae Parker, who was their quote-unquote big offseason addition in the passing game, and he should have thrown three picks last game. Got kind of bailed out. Nelson Agholor made a great play reaching over a defender to score a touchdown on a ball that should have been picked. And there was another pick that Sutton on the Steelers just straight up dropped. And that kept the Patriots drive alive. And then they still punted, but Gunnar Olszewski muffed the punt and gave the ball back to the Patriots. And the Patriots end up scoring a touchdown that ends up being the game-winning drive. So that's all to say, they needed a lot of luck to edge out the Steelers, who were horrible in that game last week. So not impressive offensively. Defensively, I think maybe they can be fine, or they could be fine if they had a good offense. Like their defense, if it were on an offensively loaded team, be totally fine. But they don't have a defense or an offense right now that can be a hallmark. And obviously, they got totally smoked in the postseason last year when they played the Bills. So they left off from there, but from there they lost their offensive coordinator, downgraded, and they've switched to this more Mike Shanahan style offense, or Kyle Shanahan, I should say, style offense, and it really hasn't translated to anything impressive yet.
How much of that was like foreseen? And I guess maybe you're the wrong person to ask here as a little bit more of a, I guess, negative Nancy, but how much of that was foreseen by even like the more like rah-rah people in the media up there? Because it felt like to me, following from, like I said, afar, like it felt like kind of a disastrous training camp for the Patriots, but
yeah,
maybe that's
it,
just relative.
It was a disastrous training camp. And I will say, like, the rah-rahness is finally kind of slowing down with the Patriots. I think that most people who cover the team, and I don't, I'm an in studio person. I do the people that sit on the couches and yell at each other about the sports. But
so you're like the Skip Bayless of Boston.
What's that?
So you're like the Skip Bayless of Boston is what you're saying.
A much less successful one. But I don't know. Like I always get mad when people are like, So like, do people manufacture takes? And I'm like, no, they're just like asked a question and then they answer it. And maybe a take comes out there, but I've never sat down and been like, all right, here's how we're going to rile everybody up. It's just, again, like kind of reacting to stuff. But the people who cover the team throughout the preseason, most of them, and I think that in Boston, we have people who are biased in favor of the Patriots. We have people who are kind of a little more curious and are like, wait, is this actually all really good? And there are people who really will just be kind of matter of fact and say what they see. So by and large, you are getting a lot of, hey, looked bad at camp today. Did not, hey, joint practices, they got dominated. Very bad. So we did see this coming, but national media, I think, was a little further behind on it because it's just tough to believe that a Bill Belichick operation cannot have its act together. And maybe that act does collect itself at some point, but right now it's not there and frankly not close.
Interesting. So I'm kind of curious to like what your thoughts on what a fix would be so far through two games, if you could think of one.
I mean, the passing game is the most important thing in the NFL right now, and the receivers aren't really getting separation, which is an underrated part of the passing game, Jake.
Yeah.
You know this?
Famously, yes, receivers do help with the passing game.
The farther away receivers can be from defenders, the more likely it is that if and when they catch the ball, they're going to then be able to further the ball down the field. So, I mean, it really is as simple as that. Like, receivers aren't getting open, and smarter people than me and the people who actually cover the team have kind of gone into detail on certain routes and certain plays that, oh, well, in years past, this guy would have broken this way. Why are they breaking in to the coverage instead of away from it? And there's just things about the offense and the passing game that strike people as a little more behind and elementary and kind of predictable and expected. I don't know if you saw the thing of Dan Orlovsky talking about the Dolphins game, basically saying like the Patriots ran this essentially the same play, like, I don't know what, like six times in the first like 11 plays or something like that. And not the same play, but like the same like set and look. And basically like once the defense had seen it like two or three times, they were like, yeah, no, like we got this. So they're a work in progress. I don't think that Belichick teams usually get better over the course of the year, or they did a lot in the Brady regime era, but I don't know if that happens.
Who's the go-to option right now? You know, you talk about DeVante Parker, Damian Harris, like who's the guy that is like striking fear if there are any?
Undrafted free agent of 3 years ago, Jacoby Myers, probably.
On the injury report today.
Good receiver. What's that?
On the injury report today, I think.
Yeah. Good possession receiver, I guess. Slow, but good, solid player. And they were able to develop him from the class in which they got N'Keal Harry. Harry obviously didn't work out, but they at least got an okay receiver out of that. And I think Jacoby Myers might be their best receiver. Nelson Agholor, like I said, made a really, really good play, had a great game against the Steelers last week, but I don't know how many times he's making the play that he made in that win. Hunter Henry has been minimally involved in the passing game this year, which confuses me because pound for pound, he's probably the Patriots' best player in the receiving game. But they haven't really involved him a ton this year. He was way more involved last year. So maybe that's going to be a work in progress. Jonnu Smith has been really ineffective. That was another one. Like when the Patriots signed Jonnu Smith, everyone was all pumped. And I was like, do you guys know if Jonnu Smith's good? Like he was okay with the Titans, but like they're not getting Travis Kelce here. And he was bad last year. And so far hasn't really shown much more.
It's interesting. I didn't even write this down, but I'm curious, like, how would you grade that Belichick spending spree from a couple years ago after they lost Brady and they just went out and just, it felt like signed everyone?
Yeah, I mean, very overrated spending spree in that they merely filled holes on their roster, which duh, that's what you do when you're building a team, but they didn't go out and acquire a bunch of stars. Like, the best player they signed was Hunter Henry, and Patriots fans might argue Matthew Judon, but Matthew Judon to me has come as advertised, which is plays great against bad teams and weak lines, and you do not see, oh, dude, you would know.
Yeah, no comment.
And you do not see him when there is competition. Is that correct?
You know, I hate to rag on a guy, but it sounded a little familiar. And also, you know, penalties here and there, a little annoying. I'm not going to get into it, but.
Yeah, I mean, and fine player, but not great player.
I would say a really good player. Really good.
Yeah, I'll go there. I'll go there. Really good player.
I mean, he was a fifth round pick too from D2. So, I mean, it's, you know, we developed him into something here, and then, you know, he gets that contract, and, you know, I was, you know, it made sense to me at the time, but now, yeah, I think some of the inconsistency showing up after he got off to that hot start, I'm not that shocked.
I'm also old enough to remember a fellow by the name of Adalys Thomas, who was another player that the Ravens really polished into a great player, was the apple of Bill Belichick's eye. They paid him all that money, and he came in, and man, he was the best player in that Super Bowl against the Giants, but that was really his only big game with the Patriots. So I jokingly, when the Patriots were signing Matthew Judon, I was like, I already considered this guy a buyer beware thing, but I'm getting kind of spooked out by memories past.
The red sleeves are sick on him, though.
They look so good, man. Wish I thought of that.
Honestly, the Belichick, like, it's funny because we're talking about all this and it's like, oh, Belichick's mortal now, this and that. Dude, when he walked out into the press conference today in that fucking red hoodie, I was like, all right, I'm intimidated again. This is too much for me.
I mean, it's Bill Belichick. At the end of the day, even with all the, it's been a weird couple of years, and maybe he's not what he once was, but at the end of the day, that man's seen and done some stuff.
Indeed, indeed. So I guess, yeah, we can jump into the defense now. I'm once again asking, who calls the plays here?
Steve, that's kind of like a split. I mean, Belichick said recently that his son, Steve Belichick, does it. But for the life of me, I can't figure out why Jerod Mayo wouldn't have absolute control over that defense. And when we were wondering who is going to call the plays offensively for the Patriots, my suggestion was that Belichick should, because I was like, I'm cool with Belichick paying less attention to the defense because I trust Jerod Mayo, and I like Jerod Mayo as somebody who could take ownership of that defense. And Steve Belichick is fine to our knowledge. So let them run the defense, and Belichick, if you need to take care of the offense, then you take care of the offense, buddy. But I'll just say the defense is in far better hands than the offense is, because Steve Belichick is an okay defensive coach. It's tough for me to assess Steve Belichick because you don't know how much of it is Steve and how much of it is Bill, and stuff, in my opinion, of Jerod Mayo is just based on personally knowing him a little bit from working with him in between his retirement from football and going back to the Patriots. He's the smartest person I've met in this field, with apologies to Kevin O'Connor and like other true whizzes with their sports. Like, Jerod Mayo could have just been hired like as a head coach with no coaching experience. He's that smart and that much of a people person. So I know that he's killing it, even if you don't know how much of it is Bill Belichick, how much of it is Steve Belichick, how much of it is Jerod Mayo.
You always love to see that with a former player too, that you grew up rooting for. Like, they got Anthony Weaver on the Ravens staff right now. It's like, oh, I remember that guy from when I was like 8 years old. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And Mayo was, man, it's funny. Like, so the Patriots had the 7th overall pick from the 49ers, and they traded down to 10 with the Saints, and the Patriots took Jerod Mayo, who was projected to go in like the teens to maybe early 20s, and they took him 10th overall. And Mayo was great from the jump, just like tackling machine. And once like I worked with him a little bit, like the first day that I met him and just like kind of shot the breeze with him, I was like, I can't believe Belichick didn't trade up to number one just to like make sure he got that guy, because I could, because like Belichick is obviously like the ultimate football guy. So for him to find that good a player, that quick a learner, and like just that hard a hitter, like he loves Devin McCourty for the same reason. He was just like a really just a great tackler that I bet Bill Belichick thought that Jerod Mayo was like the perfect football player.
He probably did. He's got a couple of those guys. Ed Reed actually being one of them, where you see like videos of him talking to Ed Reed. It's like, man, he's got like a man crush on him. It's kind of funny to watch.
Not though. Who was the Why can't I think of his name? He was the Titans receiver who was a free agent. The Patriots offered him more money and he signed with the Ravens.
Derek Mason.
Derek Mason. Have you seen the video of Mason and Belichick?
Yep. Yeah. Where they're shit talking each other on the sideline.
Can you swear on here?
Yeah.
Yeah. The fuck you, Mason. You will ya?
Yeah. Look at the scoreboard.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Will ya? I don't know if you, I don't know if that's like a Boston thing or what.
Well, he's
like,
actually, like, Bill is from here. You know, he's from
that is true.
Annapolis.
But like so. My dad used to say, my dad would just say like, will ya? Like just, unrelated to, and it's just like an exclamation.
Yeah. I think it's just I think that's just a dad thing.
Yeah.
It's so like calling weed grass.
Saying to Derek Mason, oh, will ya? Amazing. Love
just
it.
Exasperated. Yeah. That's an all timer.
Yeah. Especially after like, how many people can look at Bill Belichick and say like, I said no to you.
Yeah. No, that's
not many.
Derek Mason, an interesting cat, actually. I know some people who know him personally, and yeah, that guy has some stuff to say. So I'd love to get him on here at some point. Hopefully I'll make that happen.
Loved him as a player. Was heartbroken when the Patriots didn't get him.
Dude, he had good years here. Like everyone talks about Anquan Boldin, and rightfully so, but he was like that before that. Like he was that guy.
Loved him. Yeah, and I think like Brady can't even say to Belichick, like I turned you away. It's just Derek Mason. And then for some reason he kept spiking the football and like rubbing it in Belichick's face.
Yeah, that was, it's interesting because they lost that game in the regular season, I believe. And then that was the game where Joe Flacco was injured and then Ray Rice ripped off the run and they wound up winning, I think, in Foxborough that year.
In the postseason?
Yeah.
Oh man, that game was over so quickly.
Yep.
Man. Those are the days.
Yeah, man, they really were in a lot of different ways.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. Am I crazy for thinking that for some reason this game is going to be close?
No, I think it is going to be.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm just basing it off of that these teams typically play close games, but I also have to remember that they've only played one game without Tom Brady, and it was, if memory serves, a very rainy Sunday night.
Yeah. It was after the November Masters, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very rainy evening. Jackson never totally got comfortable. I think it was cold too.
Yeah.
And there were just like weird factors. And I know that both teams have to deal with the elements, but I don't know. Just sometimes it affects one team more than it affects the other. Like that game that the Patriots beat the Bills last year when I think they threw the ball like one time because it was so cold and windy. And everyone was like, see, the Patriots can hang with the Bills. And I was like, yo.
That was a rough game because the week before, Ronnie Stanley, who's the all-pro left tackle, TJ Watt rolled up on him and broke his ankle. And he has still not recovered from it fully. And then in that game, Nick Boyle, who's like their all-pro like blocking tight end, he shredded his knee. He's still kind of coming back from that. So that 2-week stretch in 2020, and this was pre the COVID Thanksgiving, all that BS. That was some dark times for your boy.
Yeah. But for some reason, I mean, that's like my last impression of these two teams. I mean, I do have a more recent impression of these two teams because I watched both of them play on Sunday and I rewatched one of them play yesterday. I don't know why I'm being cagey. I rewatched the Dolphins and Ravens game yesterday. And man, even with how badly the Ravens blew it, I was watching their offense and I'm still like, man, Patriots can't do any of this stuff.
No, it's like, yeah, it's I'm with you. And I do like to your original question, like I do think it's going to be close because like, you know, the offense looked amazing and I think they're going to win some track meets this year. But and as good as I think they still can be on defense, like it's you're going to be shell shocked after a game like that. And you got to go up to Foxborough, which is still, in my opinion, probably a pretty hostile place to play. And, you know, it's going to be tough, I think. So and to your point, like you look at that helmet and it's like, hey, we play close games with that team. Why don't we play a close game today? It feels like that's how it always happens.
How much would Harbaugh love to just like smoke the Patriots though?
Yeah, no, he certainly would. I think the formations thing that he bitched out of the rule book.
Dude, that was the best.
Yeah,
that was, and as you can probably tell, I like joking and laughing about sports because I like joking and laughing about life or whatever. So I guess what I'm saying, like, I'll make fun of the Patriots and I'll laugh at the Patriots where appropriate. That was just a great time to maybe kind of laugh at, not necessarily the Ravens, but just like laugh at the situation. Like, what are the Patriots doing? And this man has lost his mind because you prepare, like, think about it. Like, you prepare so much for a playoff game against a team that, even if they don't technically qualify as a rival, you've had some big games with over the years. You want to win that game anyway, but you want to beat that team. And they do this like weird, stupid, cheap little thing. I think we all kind of would.
And they saved it for the second half. They saved it for the second half so they couldn't go into the locker room and talk about it. That's pretty genius. Like, I gotta give Bill the credit there. It was famously taken out of the rule book afterwards, so I think my guy John was proven correct. But in the moment, yeah. I'll give him his credit.
Yeah, people forget, though. Let's see. Was Nate Solder? Nate Solder, I think, was, did he catch one of the passes?
I think he would like line up as a tight end and then Ho'o Manawanui was like the,
oh, that is it.
The lineman. Like in the slot, and they would be like, oh yeah, okay, so like the tight end now or like the lineman is like eligible. Yeah, so I think right.
So I remember, yeah, so they said Solder's eligible. People forget. He went to college as a tight end.
Yeah, people do forget that.
Every good tackle goes to college as a tight end. What up with that?
Yeah, Jason Peters. I mean, there's, yeah.
Robert Gallery.
Yeah, Villanueva.
I said good tackle, but poor Robert Gallery. Mm. Yeah, a lot of them just go as tight ends. Did you think the Eli Manning thing was funny?
Which one?
The video of Eli Manning?
Which one?
There's a video of Eli Manning. He went undercover at Penn State and tried to walk on.
I saw this. I didn't like watch it. I saw the people like talking about it, but
wasn't that funny?
Was it like one of those things where it's like, oh, it's like a brand activation actually, and like he's just gonna like, you know, like kind of half-ass it?
I can't. No, I mean, he got into it. There were a couple of funny lines. Pete reminded me that some of the lines were actually pretty funny, but it got like a lot of, oh my god, like I'd love to be. Wouldn't it be great to be a former professional athlete, where just, I don't know if everyone just thinks that they're dumb or something, or why the bar is set so low for if they do anything. It's like, I remember that Tom Brady used to do commercials. He did the Under Armour commercial where like a guy called him by the wrong name or something, and he was so mad, and he was like, but I'm Tom Brady, and everyone's like, that's the funniest commercial I've ever seen. I was like, no, it's not.
It's I want to say one of the Dan Patrick Show guys was talking about JJ Watt one time. And I think it was with the Barstool guys, who famously not big JJ Watt fans at the time. And he was like, oh, he's really funny. He's really funny. I think it was Big Cat was like, there's no way he's like actually funny. And he's like, well, he's defensive end funny. Like the line is definitely very low. Like whenever Peyton Manning would go on SNL, like I think he would be funny, but it's people do kind of get a little crazy with like the overestimation of humor, I guess.
Yeah. I liked Manning on SNL. I mean, obviously the United Way thing was, pretty legendary. There's also one where it was on the set of 300. They were shooting 300. He was supposed to throw a rock, and they're like, all right, and action, all right, throw it. And he's just holding it and he's grunting and he just won't throw it, and they have to keep cutting, and they're like, can you hear us? Throw the rock. And he's like, oh yeah, okay, I'll throw it. And every time, it was just so stupid, but it was funny.
No, it's good. Yeah, are you a Manning cast guy?
I'll dabble. I mean, I liked I thought that the end of the Monday Night Football Seahawks Broncos was fantastic.
Yeah.
The sincerity with which Peyton was trying to call the timeouts, seeing that face, we hadn't seen that face in so long. That come on. Like, where he just wants to bitch out an offensive lineman, but there's no offensive lineman near him. So it's all he can do to just make gestures. And then Shannon Sharp yelling, where he says, they're going to kick it. Kick what?
Yeah. It was good. And I think I'm a Manning cast guy too. I'm feeling a little bit of, I don't know. The other night I'm 100 years old. So I was falling asleep at 10 o'clock, but I was kind of feeling a little bit of FOMO with missing out on Buck and Aikman. And then you got that going on. It feels like I have to make a choice now. And that's kind of unfortunate.
So did they do this past Monday night?
I think they did this one. They did the one in week two, was it? Or maybe it was week one. That I was feeling that way, but there was definitely one conflict where I was like, oh man, they got the big game voice, but I want to hang with, Peyton and Eli.
I'll tell you what, I hated two Monday night games at the same damn time.
Yeah.
On Monday.
I don't know what's going on with that. The second Monday night game in whatever week one or week two is always super weird and funny, but it feels like it hasn't had that charm in the last couple of years. I think the last really good one was the Sergio Dip year.
Oh man. That was so, I know I think ESPN thought they were doing the right thing. And I think they thought, people are going to be mean to this guy, so let's protect him. But I can only speak to my personal experience and perspective. I thought that was such a sweet, fun moment. And he didn't seem embarrassed. I don't think he didn't seem embarrassed. He didn't. No,
he was tweeting about it right after he was kind of joking about it. So,
yeah, and I mean, it was how, not making fun of ESPN, but how kind of old guard is it that you get this electric thing that you didn't plan, and because you didn't plan it and you don't totally get it, it must die.
Yeah, that's like all sports media at this point. Oh, got a DMCA that we didn't approve it and this and that. It's just let some stuff be a little bit.
Yeah. Like it was just this beautiful organic thing. They hired this guy because he was good at the job. They made the right call. He comes in and he's a little dorky, but he stole everyone's heart right away. And they were like, what? Too much attention. No, shut it down. And then we never saw the guy again.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer. But I guess we were talking about the Patriots defense there. A little bit of a nonsense.
We were talking about Sergio Kindle, the Ravens.
Sergio, is that a Texas hat you have on there, by the way?
It is.
Sergio Kindle, Ravens and Texas legend. Famously fell down the stairs and never played a snap for us.
That's the best use of famously I've ever heard.
Good. That's,
oh man.
I'm glad I got a good one in on you there. Cause it's been some of your guys' stuff. And then some of the other pods that I listen to I just find myself using them in my day job and just in an office. And people are like, what is wrong with you? And there's a lot of things, dude, but
I was poking around the circling back Reddit and somebody posted it's enough. Famously, it's not cool that they brought on brunch and then started using one of their bits. And I don't comment on that stuff, but I really want to be like, DJ here, you definitely don't listen to brunch because we are over the moon that those guys say famously, and they say it's so much funnier to hear than it is to do. And all of them, Dave, Will, and Dylan, all use it in such a funnier, in my opinion, so much better and in such a funnier way. Like Dylan saying that he famously, got a doggy bag and brought some food to work the next day for lunch. It kills me. Yeah. So funny.
No, those guys are legends, and yeah, that is the mundanity with which they kind of injected in, I think, is probably famously maybe even the best version of it, like you're saying there. So, yeah, I guess Patriots wise, what does the Ravens offense have to do against this Patriots defense? Getting back to the game here to win this game, do you think?
What does the, I mean, I'm trying to think of what the Dolphins and the Steelers did so well to exploit them. The Steelers didn't really exploit. I mean, they kind of kept the Dolphins in check mostly, and the Steelers offense was just kind of a non-starter. That wasn't going to get going against anybody, unfortunately, but I mean, Jalen Mills is kind of their number one corner right now. And I know that the strength of the Ravens isn't their receivers, but like, I like Devin Duvernay, and I'm not just doing like the Texas thing, but like Duvernay's been okay, right?
Yeah, no, he's actually looked really good the first couple weeks here. And it's unfortunate because he got his bell rung and he's in the concussion protocol, I think, right now. So he might have practiced today, but hopefully he's going to be okay. Rashad Bateman is looking as advertised after, you know, they picked him in the first round last year and two touchdowns through two games. So I think they're looking better than people were expecting, myself included.
I mean, I think there's only really two players on the Patriots defense right now who you think just make sure this guy isn't involved and then you're fine. And it's Judon and it's Christian Barmore. And other than that, I think not to say like you can have your way with the Patriots defense, but they're not daunting. They're not daunting.
Definitely. Kyle Duggar kind of in that conversation too.
Oh yeah. I'd put Kyle Duggar in there as well. Yeah. Another really good tackler, good hard hitter. He's, I think, kind of making the year three leap here. Devin McCourty, still poking around, great Patriot, but it's not a stacked defense.
Yeah, it's interesting where like they kind of went all in on the cornerback position for a couple years, where they signed Gilmore, they signed J.C. Jackson, I think, and then they leave in back-to-back years, and it makes me sort of wonder about the Belichick kind of roster construction, because it seems like he went all in on that, and then those guys both kind of walked, and I know he likes to get rid of guys too early as opposed to too late, but it seems like corner is kind of not really a threatening position anymore there.
Yeah, it's where, I mean, like, let me think. I mean, you got Jalen Mills, you got various Joneses, but Belichick, to his credit, always kind of grows cornerbacks. He takes Malcolm Butler, who obviously became a really good starting cornerback. J.C. Jackson turns into a really good starting cornerback. And, I mean, Stephon Gilmore, that was kind of his Malcolm Butler insurance, because Butler had 1 year left on his deal, so he signs Stephon Gilmore, but generally he's okay at developing cornerbacks. And God, I mean, the Patriots were playing in Super Bowls when they had Troy Brown and Earthwin Moreland and like Julian Edelman playing cornerback at points. So it's also a position that where he's not really afraid to use duct tape sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. It makes sense. So yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of all I got as far as like the nuts and bolts of the game. So I guess I can kind of get to this point now. Do you have a prediction here? I know you said you're expecting a close game. What are you feeling in this one? Patriots 1-1, Ravens 1-1. How are we ending this weekend?
I feel like the Ravens win a close game. And if the Patriots win in any fashion, God help me, because Patriots fans will be like, oh, yeah, and everyone counted us out. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, do your job. I don't want no scrubs. And, like, doing all this whole thing. And it's going to be, again, this is me. I'm, like, fearing a take or a reaction before it even exists.
Yeah.
So that's...
You got your guard up. If you could guarantee right. another Super Bowl win or retroactively give Ray Seahorn the Emmy, what would you do?
It's really, really, really hard to win a Super Bowl. And I've seen that a bunch of times. Mm. So I haven't seen Ray Seahorn win an Emmy. And truth be told, I don't even know if she should be nominated next year. Because if it's going to be for the second batch, then what's she getting? Nominated for the Florida episode?
Yeah, Waterworks. Famously a very good episode, in my opinion.
I mean, I remember so... I got to think. I did like that episode, but yeah, I don't know. But it made me feel so bad.
No, it's one of those kind of gut-wrenching ones. It's like, oh, I just watched like No Country for Old Men. That was amazing, and I never want to see it again.
Yeah, that was how I felt, and a lot of people felt about Uncut Gems.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, that'll do it for me. Although I did go back after the whole Julia Fox thing, mm-hmm. where she famously said that she was Benny Safdie's or Josh Safdie's, one of the Safdie brothers' muses for Uncut Gems. Mm-hmm. I went back and rewatched the movie just because of that.
Have you seen Good Time?
Good Time, no.
So that's they made it before Uncut Gems, actually. It's with Pattinson, and I think Benny wow. Safdie actually co-stars with him in it about a bank robbery. More stressful wow. than Uncut Gems, I think.
Sheesh, I should watch that. You know what I just watched was Confess Fletch.
Oh, yeah, the John Hamm thing?
Great.
Is that in theaters?
Yes, but probably not when it's only in some theaters, and you can buy it on Amazon, and it's very like they're keeping this thing under lock and key and really not publicizing it at all. But once you find a way to see it, you'll be very, it's a very cute movie.
Yeah, I think, I've been been doing mostly sober September here. So I need to find ways to keep myself occupied on, weekends. So I was thinking maybe I'd pop over and see a movie at some point. So maybe that'll be on the list there.
Sober September, not a bad idea.
It's better than October, I think, because October is the best beer month.
Yeah, that's true. But September, you're getting a lot of Oktoberfests.
It's true, but I like to wait till I don't know how it is up there, but like down here, it still feels very much like summer right now.
Yeah, I mean, I famously have reverse seasonal depression, so I'm happy when it starts to get to be like fall and stuff and we all start putting on jeans again. Mm. So September is kind of when I get my groove back. So
you're the reverse Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yes. Wake me up when September begins.
Right. Okay.
It's great.
Interesting.
Great observation.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I guess that's an interesting note to close it on, I guess, but that's pretty much all I got for you. I think I've taken up more than enough of your time running on an hour here, but I think it was a really fun chat. Thanks for joining me, man.
Yeah, Jake, this has been a blast, and if you want the Ravens to win, then go Ravens, and if you want the Patriots to win, then go Patriots. Let's get Mac Jones to Canton.
Definitely. So how about you go ahead and plug your, whatever you're doing with NBC and plug brunch and your social media and all that stuff before we get you out of here for all the listeners who might want to check you out.
Yeah. If you're from the New England area, watch NBC Sports Boston. I do some stuff on there and also various NBC channels in Boston. We have a big building and there's a lot of stations in there. So sometimes I just go in there and kind of bop around the various studios. So I guess watch TV and hope for the best. And check out the brunch podcast. It's on wherever you can find your podcasts. It's a good one. You got to take my word for it.
I agree.
There's a real chemistry there.
It has my endorsement.
It's good. You got to check it out.
Definitely. Well, thanks again, man. I hopefully we'll do this again sometime. This is really fun. Like I said, took up more than enough of your time, and it was a great use of mine, I think. So you have yourself a good weekend. Obviously, hoping the Ravens win, but other than that, hope you have a nice weekend up there and up in the good old Northeast.
You too, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Yep. See ya.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Everything out of me. They gonna get a Super Bowl out of me.